Over a long and distinguished career, Tina Castañares has dedicated her work to aiding the underserved members of the farm worker and migrant community, particularly in a palliative and end-of-life setting. She has worked tirelessly toward changing the attitudes and practices of clinicians in her own state of Oregon and nationally when dealing with end-of-life care. We were honored to have the chance to sit down with her and discuss her work. Tina, what drives you personally as a clinician, and what does working for your underserved community mean to you?
Personal health care, which is, like most doctors, what I was trained to provide, is really very important and always will be, and certainly what I spent most of my time doing as a career, but it's public health or population health, which has come to be most valuable to me. And when I, what I mean by that is fairly broad, not just traditional public health services like immunizations and emergency preparedness and such, but systems planning, and in particular, planning for the promotion and the optimization of health for underserved populations or populations at special risk or disadvantage. And then also systems planning for end of life. There we've got 100% of us will confront that. We're all going to die, and yet there's very little systems planning aside from the fairly modest, really, hospice movement to prepare the health care system for our having rational and peaceful journeys to death and having the long-term care that we'll need on our way there.
How would you describe the biggest challenges you face working with not just the farm worker community, but the migrant community?
The challenges to personal security, access, public benefits, and such that Latinos and especially farm workers face translate into challenges in serving them adequately. There isn't necessarily funding to do it. There aren't access points. There isn't cultural competency sufficient to meet the need, and so forth. Another big challenge, I think, is just the invisibility of the farm worker population. That's not true of the Latino population more generally, but of the farm worker population. The invisibility of that group to the society at large, which is kind of bewildering to me because we all depend, our economy depends and food on our table depends on this workforce, but they're not well known or thought about very much by the mainstream or general population. Hence, when they get left behind in reforms that have great promise for others, nobody necessarily notices.
What can be done, not just by policymakers, but by doctors and clinicians to solve some of those challenges?
I've just been rereading the famous book by Ann Fadiman, The Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down, about the cultural collisions that occurred in Merced, California, where I used to work at the time. In treating a young Hmong girl with grand mal epilepsy. And it's a tremendous book and a great set of lessons about the importance of intercultural communication. And I think that for all of the generation or so that we've attended to that question, we're not there yet, and there's still a lot of ground to be covered for individual providers and educators. But I myself, I think, and then I think there's still quite a bit that needs to be done to fund and deploy trained medical or healthcare interpreters and translators. And there's a great deal that has to be done for all populations to bridge the health literacy gap, which is getting much, much greater because of the tremendous acceleration in healthcare technology that's very disparate from the level of educational attainment and the understanding of patients, any patients. It's just bewildering for most patients to find themselves in a medical crisis or a mental health crisis. And that's a health literacy problem kind of writ large.
How can clinicians do a better job serving the needs of those in palliative and end-of-life care?
I think that as clinicians, we need to personalize things ourselves and kind of take stock of our fears and doubts and our preferences. For example, there have been several studies recently released that demonstrate kind of beyond a doubt that doctors, medical doctors, choose much less care for themselves when they get diagnosed with a terminal illness that's advanced than they offer to patients with the same kinds of diagnoses. Now, that's a really profound thing, but basically what it says is we as doctors who know what the treatments are about and we know what the likelihood of success is and we know about the suffering that some of the treatments create, we choose less care for ourselves, but we continue to really urge our patients, or often we urge our patients to accept such treatments, or we shadow the truth with the good intention of offering hope and, in fact, inadvertently create more suffering. So I think that that's a red flag about our own internal conflict, about our profession, about our calling, about our responsibilities as healthcare professionals, versus what we would even choose for ourselves or our families.
Could you describe how transdisciplinary care and teamwork enhance the quality of your work as a clinician?
It's different than multidisciplinary when you've got a bunch of different professionals sitting around, often the doctor leading the pack, and just talking about a case, but the doctor's orders are kind of what lead the day. That was the old multidisciplinary team approach. Then it kind of became the interdisciplinary team, much more meaningful interaction, eliciting of the different specialists and disciplines in the group, what they knew and what they could provide, maybe coming up with a joint treatment plan. And that interdisciplinary team is the linchpin of, for example, hospice work and other kinds of teams. And it's great, but I think the transdisciplinary term is emerging to suggest something that includes that, but is even more. I think it means that, let's say that I, as a doctor, get the opportunity and I have the interest to reach out to a patient who's in a spiritual crisis or because of their advanced illness, they're having spiritual suffering. Or maybe it's a nurse who has the opportunity and the knowledge base to refer a patient to a community resource rather than making them go through the middle person who might be the social worker. Or maybe it's a physical therapist who, for various reasons, knows how to talk to the patient's family the best. Maybe they are next-door neighbors. Or the hospice aide who gives the patient the shower and hears all the most intimate of fears voiced that no one else on the team has heard and can address them. The transdisciplinary team says to those people, with care, go for it. You know, the nurse, make those referrals, the physical therapist, have those conversations. Let's talk about what you can do, and it's not going to be hidebound by traditional rules. And I've really appreciated that.
Tina Castanheiras, thank you so much for joining us.